If you are feeling a little empty or stuck or frustrated, chances are, friend, that you are leaning too much on your own strength and not enough on the faithfulness of God. That's definitely what happens to me. So after looking through this awesome chapter in Leviticus, Leviticus 26, that we've been looking at the past two episodes, I hope that you are encouraged and inspired to lean on the promises that God has for you. But here's the thing, while God does the majority of the work, friend, we do have a responsibility. So today, we are going to talk about a few things that we need to do in order to claim these precious promises of God. Are you ready? Welcome to the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur podcast and video stream. As you know, you can now catch these episodes on YouTube at The Faith-Filled Entrepreneur. Our mission is to walk with you through entrepreneurship in faith and step into the full purpose that God has for you and your business. We want to help you align your mind and your business biblically. We want you to take God-sized steps of obedience because we know that He blesses faith, and we want to cover your business in prayer. My name is Jen Kleiber, founder of The Faith-Filled Entrepreneur, and your host on this ongoing conversation on faith and business. So if you are a faith-filled entrepreneur, or if you feel God leading you in that direction, you, my friend, have come to the right place. So let's dig in. Okay, before I read scripture again and we get started, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are so holy. You are so good, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these promises that are in your word. Thank you for how clear and direct you are. Thank you that we don't have to wonder if you're there. We don't have to wonder if we're good enough. Lord, you are so faithful and you are so full of grace. We come to you, we surrender our plans and our expectations, and we want to follow you, Lord. So we ask that you would be with us, speak to us. Lord, give me the words to communicate your message to these beautiful listeners. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so in the last episode, we talked about six promises that God gives in verses 6 through 13. And then in the episode before that, we talked about how God promises success because He is the provider of the seasonal rains. He is the provider of the overlap. He is the provider of the provision. And we read through that in verses 4 and 5. So as a quick recap, I just want to give you these six promises that God gives us in these verses. Number one, you will receive peace. Number two, I will rid your land of enemies. Number three, you will be victorious over your enemies. Number four, I will look favorably upon you. Number five, you will have a surplus of crops. And number six, I will live among you and walk among you. Man, these are so good, y'all. If you have not listened to the other two episodes, jump back and listen to those and have your heart encouraged by the word of God. So I want you to take a second right now and think about which of these promises you need right now. In this episode, we're actually going to go backwards a little bit to verses 1 through 3. So let me read those again. Verse 1, do not make idols or set up carved images or sacred pillars or sculptured stones in your land so that you may worship them. I am the Lord your God. You must keep my Sabbath days of rest and show reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, and then he goes into, I will send you the seasonal rains. So let's go through four responsibilities that we have in order to receive the promises of God listed out in this chapter. Okay, I'm going to read through them and then we'll dive in a little bit. Number one, do not make idols. Number two, keep the Sabbath day of rest. Number three, show reverence in my sanctuary. Number four, follow decrees and obey the commands. So let's just take a look at each of these. Number one, do not make idols. Okay, y'all, now these poor Israelites, they just could not quite get this one down, right? It is easy for us to look back on them with hindsight 2020 and be a little judgy, right? But here's the thing. Idolatry is making anything more important than God. It's worshiping anything above God. Okay, so money, success, our reputation, vanity measures like followers or likes, even our children, our families, our spouse can become an idol. So as faithful entrepreneurs, we're being pulled in so many different directions. We are having so many people of influence pouring narratives into us that I think it can be easy to create these idols sometimes. When I look back on the Israelites, the times that they usually went back to idols were during times of uncertainty, right? So instead of continuing to walk in faith into the unseen, into the unknown, although again, to us, it sure seems like God showed himself in really big ways, right? But they felt like they needed something concrete to hold on to. Now, I don't know about you, but when we are feeling a little out of control, when our future seems uncertain, or things do not seem to be going the way that we want them to, we have two choices, y'all. We can either lean into the promises of God, we can worship him and trust him, or we can grasp onto the things that we see, but in doing so, oftentimes put those things above God, right? We have to be really self-reflective on this. If you find yourself thinking about something more than God, putting your time, putting your energy on something more than God, then we've got to be really careful that we haven't made that an idol. This is between us and God. If this is something that the Holy Spirit may be convicting you of right now, I want you to pause this episode and I want you to give that idol over to the Lord. I want you to ask for forgiveness and then I want you to receive his grace, because that's the only way that you're going to be able to really fully move forward in faith, right? Then I want you to spend some time worshiping him. Put on some worship music. Write down all of the wonderful things about him and his character and who he is to you. And that's going to help you refocus on that. This will open you up to so much more that God has to give. He does not like to compete with other things in our life. I have sure learned that lesson. Okay, number two, keep the Sabbath day of rest. That's a deep sigh. This is a struggle. I'm doing much better than I used to, but this is hard, okay? We have to think of this in the context of this chapter. Moses is talking to the Israelites about work, right? And the whole point of this message is that God is the giver of success. So if God is the giver of success, we don't need to be working 7 days a week. The Sabbath is a time to rest and refocus. It's our time to take our brains off of work and put our brains back on the Lord, right? It is the designated time to focus solely on him. We are designed to rest. He created us to rest. So if you're not doing that, if I'm not doing that, let me talk to myself here, then we can expect to burn out. We've probably all been there. Y'all, this is a command, and it is an act of faith to follow this command. Because when you shut down your computer, when you turn it off and you say, Lord, today is your day, I'm going to follow this command. I'm not going to take this back into my own hands and feel like I need this 2 more hours of work, or I need this 3 more hours of work, right? I'm going to have faith and I'm going to trust that you are going to bless the work that I've done. Then we are trusting that God is the author of our success, right? Our to-do list will always be a mile long, but do you trust him to prioritize? Do you trust him to bring you success even with that day of rest? All right, number three, show reverence in my sanctuary. The bottom line here, I believe, is that the Lord wants us to acknowledge his holiness. After he gives this command, he follows it up with, I am the Lord. He is continually reminding the Israelites that he is the one true God. And y'all, he's continually trying to remind us of that as well, right? It's not enough to just not have idols. He wants us to show him reverence as well. I mean, he deserves that, right? If we flip over to a very familiar chapter in Matthew, Matthew 6, Jesus is teaching us how to pray. Matthew 6, 9 starts with Jesus saying this, pray like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's the ESV version. In the NLT, it says, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. This is the first thing that Jesus models in his prayer. Now, I have to be honest, until recently, I'm not going to say that this was a practice that I did in my prayer life regularly. I've shown you guys my prayer book. It's back there. But this strategy has really helped me get into the habit of expressing God's holiness. Okay, so for those of you who are on video, you can see it. This is my prayer book. I have all of these sections here. The praise section is the very first page of the book. It's a couple of pages long. So the very first thing that I have here is you are holy. You are holy, you are good, you are sovereign, your ways are perfect, your timing is perfect. And my list goes on and on, right? This has helped me get into a practice of praising God first. He is holy. He is set apart. He is above all else. And if I truly believe that, then none of these other things, let me get to them, none of these other things that I'm praying about back here hold a candle to that, because he is above everything else, right? So when I acknowledge his sovereignty, when I acknowledge his holiness, it puts my mind in a frame that when I come to him with requests, when I come to him with concerns, I already know you are holy, you are set apart, and you work for good. Okay, so as a recap, kind of got off topic there, but as a recap, the first thing we do is to not have idols. The second thing we do is to keep the Sabbath. The third thing we do is to show him reverence. Number four, follow my decrees and obey my commands. So y'all, God's love is unconditional, right? But that doesn't mean that he gives us everything we want anytime we want it. This is an if-then statement. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, then I will send the seasonal rains. Why is this? Does this make you question the character of God that he would put these if-then statements in there? Well, if you're a parent, I'm sure you have used the if-then statement, right? If you eat your vegetables, then you can have dessert. If you finish your homework, then you can hang out with your friends. If you empty the dishwasher, then you can watch TV. Why do we make these statements? Do we call our character into question? No, because we want our children to do what is best for them and for the greater good, right? And then we will reward them. Sometimes it's with natural consequences. If you do your homework, then you'll feel more confident about the learning and get better grades. You want them to learn how to take care of themselves and their home and help the family. It's not a punishment, right? And neither are the things that God asks of us. For the Israelites, he wanted their undivided love and loyalty because he wanted to give that back to them. He knew that he could give them their best life, but they just kept looking in other places. Let's take a look at a few other promises that we find in the Bible. Okay, number one, trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Psalm 37:3. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Psalm 37:4. Psalm 37:5, I'm just going to read this one too. Commit everything you do to the Lord, trust him, and he will help you. Number four, put your hope in the Lord. Travel steadily along his path. He will honor you by giving you the land. You will see the wicked destroyed. That's Psalm 37:43. Number five, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fail, for the Lord holds them by the hand. That's Psalm 37:23-24. Number six, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, all you godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need. That's Psalm 36:8-9. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. Let me give you just a couple more. Philippians 4:6 through 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Here's the promise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. And I want to read you one more. Matthew 6, 31 through 33. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. So, don't get me wrong, there are plenty of promises that our loving Father just gives us. But if you really take a look at these, we do have some responsibilities, right? Let me read them off to you. To put our hope in the Lord, not in man or a course or ourselves even, right? To be godly, to follow the word, to fear him, to revere him, to submit ourselves to him, our plans and our expectations, to tithe, to take our fears and worries to him, to trust him, to seek him first, right? These are all where our responsibilities come from. And then the promises follow. Now, as a plug here, our online store is opening this month in May. It's my birthday month, and so it's a perfect month to open our online store. You can head to thefaithfulentrepreneur.com to check it out. But one of the resources that we have there are 30 promises and prayer cards for the faith-filled entrepreneur. So I just read you 11. But you can get these cards that have 30 promises and prayers because we got to lean in on those promises. Now, we have to make sure, and we want to make sure, that we are doing these things in order to get the full measure of God's blessings. But also, why not? Why would we not want to do this, right? I don't want to carry my worries. I don't want to worship anyone other than God. I don't want to rely on myself to get me through this life and this business journey, right? So obeying is good, friends. It does not hold us back. It actually propels us forward. So here's what I want to close with. Over the past few episodes, we have covered God's promises of success, of peace, of provision, his presence, his protection. And in this episode, I shared a few more of God's promises out of his word. His promises are all throughout the Bible, and they are for you. Not just me, not just your pastor, not just your neighbor. They are for you. But you do have to claim them. And by claim them, I'm not saying for you to just go say, I'm claiming that promise. I'm saying that you have to claim them by living a life that brings glory to God and keeps you within the shadow of his protection and his purpose. So if you are not feeling the promises of God, I want to encourage you from a very loving standpoint. I have to do this to myself often, to do a self-check. First, is there any area in your life that you need to realign? A part of your responsibility to claim those promises that maybe you need to be intentional about, right? Have you lost your focus on your Savior? Second, as part of the self-check, I want you to think, is God blessing me with these promises? But maybe I'm so distracted by what's going on around me that I'm not seeing them. Has he provided? Has he been faithful? Has he been present? Has he worked things out? Have you felt peace in difficult times? I want to encourage you to be intentional about recognizing the goodness of God and his faithfulness in your life and business. Seek him first, friends, above all else, and then you will reap the harvest of his promises. Blessings, friend, to you and your business. Bye for now.